Welcome, everyone, to the Pop Culture Podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me in the co-pilot seat is Pete. Hello, Pete!
Hello, Matt. Hello, everybody. Ready to push the button here on our third episode of our summer series devoted to Star Wars Rebels.
Indeed, this episode titled Fighter Flight. Hey, that's wordplay.
Yeah.
And we are all set to begin. We have it paused just as the episode started. We have got the big, beautiful marble there of Lothal. Are you ready, Pete, to engage?
I don't understand that verbiage. This is Star Wars, so I'm ready to go to hyperspace.
Excellent. Well, with that, if you are watching along at home, get your episode primed and ready to go. Here we go in 3, 2, 1, boom. Again, I continue to enjoy the design internally and externally of the Ghost. Really great ship. A tough little ship.
It is, and I like that we've explored much of its living space in these early episodes. We've seen here we have kind of like a cafeteria, common room, kitchen situation. We've seen this room they're now in. We see individual cabins, and here Sabine is doing her graffiti.
And you know, it's nice that the show is able to write in such a way that they're able to have their cake and eat it too, which is you're able to say to a certain segment of the preteen audience, hey, he has like, but also you clearly establish in a response there, yeah, that this show ain't doing that, at least this season. And she also shoots him down. It's just, you know, it's a fun way to kind of handle all of that.
With Ezra and Zeb here, these antagonistic buddies early on in this show, whereas Kanan is clearly the mentor to Ezra, these two are a little bit closer in their rapport, lovingly tease one another and give each other a hard time, the hijinks.
Just want to point out, by the way, when Zeb was getting ready to hit hit Ezra, Zeb pushed up his sleeves, except he doesn't have sleeves. So there's the pushing up motion. Just, again, maybe on their world, that means I'ma fight you. It's definitely an episode that calls for fun animation.
It does.
To be doing these different running, jumping. He's going to jump and have his hands and his feet on the same bar of the rail and that kind of thing.
As teases go to jump on the character and then get busted by Space Mom. Oh, you shouldn't have done that into our cargo. It's not the greatest, but we kind of need to lay off the gas. Three episodes in, we've had a lot of, you know, entanglements with Imperials, Matt.
Yeah, and the fact that we're also setting up this running gag that the Meluron fruit is something that she does not expect them to get. Therefore, it's this, now go out and bond, you boys, shows her wisdom as, yes, de facto Space Mom, but also kind of, you know, as we said a few episodes ago, kind of captain of the boat in terms of giving them things. Oh, there we just saw old Obi-Wan variant. Because we are repeating, I don't know what the proper word is. Not, you know, repeating character designs, whatever you want to. I'm sure there's a proper agent is probably, I think, the programming, like the special effects name for
yeah.
it. You know, all these people are agents, but then you're thinking I'm talking about Agent Callus. So we'll just say dudes and dudettes.
I think back to old school 8-bit video games where you had a palette swap where, you know, Scorpion and Sub-Zero had different colors.
Even in the 16-bit world of Super Nintendo, Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, oh man, now he's going to the dark world where everything is designed the same, just different colors. A couple of design changes. also nice here in terms of you're still at a point in the series where you want to be introducing, or perhaps reinforcing is a better word, some of the character elements. The fact that Zeb is holding those two heavy boxes so easily, it's just, it's again, it's animating to use him as a character in an expressive way. Super minor quibble here. The fact that the green guy, his voice sounds a little electronic.
Yeah. This is a cool design, Matt. We've not yet seen these in the early series, these little transports that they have. And the direct inspiration for this is a Kenner Star Wars toy that was never glimpsed in the original Star Wars. Had it as a kid, you never saw it on screen, and you were like, all right, and you put a couple stormtroopers on this, and that these artists who make this are this into the off-screen mythology and the design in this little Imperial troop transport really speaks to the love behind it.
Did the toy have kind of the external, like, you know, where later on in the episode the prisoners are kept? Did the toy have that?
It did.
Then you know what? That makes me feel better about the fact that that's a wacky way to hold on to prisoners. So that's it. You know, if it's a tongue-in-cheek reference, then that assuages my concerns.
It's done in the same way that, if you recall, the fifth season of the Clone Wars had an episode about the void, and they find a little village, a community in that void, and some of the alien designs there were basically based on figures which were poorly designed after creatures in the cantina. Like, we're going to give the hammerhead a blue smock. He didn't have one on, but you know what? That guy who made that figure liked blue. And they animated it in such a way to give you now that character was legit to this universe.
Got it. Love that little moment there where he's crawling up and that's cool enough. But he's an alien guy and being shot at, and then just to turn the fall into an attack. Really, really nice moment.
It's all about now, three episodes in, establishing beyond the character permutations of our characters. So as I mentioned before with Ezra and Zeb, to have them not only, you know, at each other's throats on the Ghost, but to be sent off on a mission on their own now and to wind up in some serious trouble furthers their relationships.
Pete, do you think that it is a sensible design on the Empire's part? I'm placing any concern in universe and not kind of conceptually to the production. Is it smart to have the entrance to a TIE fighter to be on the very top?
I think it does. You're not going to change it at this point. You're not going to suddenly have them get in another way. It's a choice.
Okay.
Kind of like, you know, you think of top-loading planes with their cockpits and things like this.
That's true. Fighter jets are top-loading. That's true. I like how we get to see a single TIE fighter being as kind of logically maneuverable as it is. That it's not space fighter planes going at 200 miles an hour, which I know is the genesis of it, but is not kind of a logical place where it would be, you know?
Well, I got news for you, Matt. You're going to see a whole lot more TIE fighter piloting up close in the next 6 months.
Ah. How exciting indeed.
Here we're seeing the rooftops used again, the same type of village and city spaces utilized, but that they're able to come at it from different directions. Make it action-packed and hokey at the same time is a tribute to the people animating this.
And, you know, if you can hit that tone right, then the audience does not complain. The fact that Zeb is flying laterally for so long, it's not really realistic in terms of, you know, you're piloting this thing, you can't see where you're going. But if it's fun, it's fun, and you don't complain.
Amazing that designs that were drawn up in the 70s can be used 30 plus years later and seem novel enough and have enough visual interest that we haven't gotten tired of them.
Well, I'll do you one better. Did you know that the exterior of the cantina, which was basically undressed, it was basically as they found it in Tunisia, that it still is there today?
Yes, and nearby is ISIS.
That's a little less good.
That is absolutely less good.
I like how the cockpit is lit by the fruit splatter on the the windshield, by the way. It's a subtle thing, but it's nice nonetheless.
Well, you've got a dark space, those interior red lights, you know, so we know it's a bad guy vehicle.
Yes.
They'd be white if it was a good guy space.
Hey, sometimes you just need those little spatial cues.
Great nod here that new Millennium Falcon also has a Dejarak table.
Interesting to think, too, that they must have gone to lengths to make the animation so bad for the game.
Just like the original.
But at least with the original, it wasn't a matter of, well, let's just drop down our frame rate and animate it sloppier. It's like, we still need to do stop motion.
Not a fan of the Spectre 1 to Spectre other number. If there's one thing I want to see going to season 2, can we just use their names?
You know what? I'm going to disagree. They are thieves. They're scoundrels. They're on the radio, open frequency. They have to use these numbers. Otherwise, they're going to get found out. That's what makes them an effective enough cell, Pete, to get promoted from sleeper cell or minor cell to, like, guess what? You get to meet the bail. You're on the bail mail now.
Bail mail.
Absolutely.
I just think you're so early in the series, you don't know these characters really, really well. And it doesn't hasten getting to know them.
This episode, you mean?
With using these code names.
Oh, okay. So, Pete, I have a question for you. In the long time ago, was it common for women to wear diapers on their head? Because Mrs. Farmer here, it's a diaper on her head.
Matt, to that, I am going to answer a firm, depends.
Well done. Well done indeed.
So there's this little, you know, transition where they're flying this stolen TIE fighter around. And this is also not the last time we will see this stolen TIE fighter. It's used later in the season to great effect. But now here's the call. We see smoke on the horizon, and we're going to go check out what Space Farmer and Space Diaper Farmer wife lady are doing.
They're so sad because they're sad. They can't just pull their arms out and climb out. Again, that's where, you know what, if this design is a nod, then that makes it excusable, which maybe is bougie on my part, but I don't know.
It's also a place for, like I said, it was conceived simultaneously as a troop transport and as a prisoner transport. Okay. So it can be used for both. Maybe you just, you're in the force field and can't move now.
Got it.
But to be using Imperial vehicles against Imperial vehicles, and like I said, lovingly reproduced toy designs now as first run entertainment.
Pete, how many times did young Pete have Hammerhead steal an Imperial vehicle for the rebels, pick up Luke Skywalker, and then like attack Imperial held Endor tree base?
I don't think I really ever used the Cantina denizens, as it were, as protagonists. I was all about Luke and Han and Leia, and if they ran into those other characters, then so be it. Remember getting an awful lot of mileage out of our Imperial shuttle. That thing, we wore that thing into the ground from the wings going down. Yes, the shuttle Tidarium. Those wings fell off.
Now, were you early enough in the toy cycle where you got the empty box?
You're referring to the early bird kit?
Christmas 77, yes, because yes. Toys weren't ready yet.
I was they two sold an empty in box. Christmas 77, okay. So no. But I can tell you that the following September, when I had my third birthday party, we used figures as goodies and goodie bags. They were that inexpensive.
Wow.
And now, as recently, Matt, as this spring, first run action figures for Star Wars in Target are as expensive as $13. Wither, wow. The 1970s, amidst an oil shortage, no less.
Right.
Figures, plastic, a petroleum byproduct, being as inexpensive as they were.
A different time.
Yes. So getting them to jump out of these little cells here, not the safest way to get them free, but this is a planet, Matt, composed entirely of wheat fields.
And you know what, Pete?
And zits.
It's a perfect opportunity to say to some of our older female listeners, listen, osteoporosis is a real thing. Be sure that you're taking a calcium supplement, because Mrs. Farmer Diaperhead was able to take that fall because she's planning for the possibility of loss of bone density, and she wants to continue to be the best she that she can be. And I'm sure that Mr. White Mustache, too, he's probably taking his one a day and, you know, just multivitamin, and that's great. He's eating his Meluron fruits for health.
Well, as plentiful as Meluron are in fiber, their space Activia is really the reason she has her space depends on her head. It's kind of like a backup.
Got it. So she might literally be a butthead?
We haven't seen that character design just yet.
Pete, I have a question for you. Would an appropriate breakfast in this time period be half a Meluron fruit and a nice tankard of blue milk?
I think it would curdle on the way down.
Well, I don't mean that. I mean, you could. Well, okay. Okay.
It's kind of like taking a swig of orange juice after, you know, having a glass of milk. It's not going to work out. And it's all for fruit here, Matt.
I would like to call slight story baloney that if you just place a wrench, or as some of our pals might say, a spanner, just in the turret there, that would cause it to explode. By the way, Pete, speaking of people in other lands, want to just give a thanks to our pal Ian in the UK. Zort.co.uk is his website, for our summertime podcast logo, pop culture podcast logo that also mentions Star Wars Rebels. Should have mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but mentioning it now. And thanks, Ian. We hope people check out your website.
Always thankful for Ian's contributions. Longtime pal of the podcast.
Ian kind of is the Desmond of Lost to our podcast band.
I watched Lost. I don't know if all of our listeners have essentially watched that. I'm going to say that he is our more friendly Chopper.
Indeed. Indeed. Wah, 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 wah. See, even Ezra liked that joke.
Yes, he did.
It's a better story than I recall. I really think that in these early episodes, I was so inclined to bow at the altar of Clone Wars, which, P.S., I did not like for the first three episodes of Clone Wars, that the charm of the show was lost on me a bit.
That shot with the sun in the distance there in the shadows with Zeb, minus if you took out Ezra, that was literally out of an early design concept for Chewbacca. Yeah.
There you go.
So Ezra's got a TIE fighter helmet now. He's got stormtrooper helmets. He's adding to the gotta catch them all Pokemonization of these buckets, as Zeb refers to them. We get back with Sabine here, that she's been doing this the entire time. And her artwork there really takes me out of the rest of this animation.
Yeah, but how old would you say Sabine is? Like 16, 17?
Yeah.
It kind of looks like what a 16, 17-year-old, I think I want to be an artist, except I don't have plans to study.
But her other stuff that she's done is far more in the world that they inhabit.
Maybe she's doing like one of those like Instagram, like hashtag 30 days of art or something like that, where it's like day 17, do a graffiti anime single cell of your friends.
Oh, there you go.
You know?
Could be, Matt. Could be.
Again, there's some really sweet lines there on the ghost. And you know, Pete, self-contained storyline there, but what do we get as the episode officially concludes? We get a reminder of kind of the cruelty of the Empire, beating up on old Farmer Mustache, and a good episode, a serviceable episode, and a fun one.
Not their greatest, but you knew that early on, all right, we were going to have one that wouldn't be as intense. And this is that episode.
Well, Pete, you know what is intense is the experience that people have following you on Twitter. How can people do so?
You can send me the plans to the Death Star at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R, J, Ketelaar, K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R, 5,811 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I am personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, you can be in touch with the podcast in four wonderful ways. I'll tell you three. We are Fantastic Geek. That's Fantastic with a PH on the .com, the Gmail, and the Twitter. But wait, Pete, there's more.
If you want to know how to construct your very own lightsaber, head over to facebook.com/Fantastic Geek with the PH, all one word. We don't have blueprints on how to construct a lightsaber, but we can talk about it.
Ooh, there we go. Excellent. No disclaimer needed because we sold you on the truth up front. Well, that, Pete, I will say adios to all our listeners, and I look forward to when next we get together to talk about the Star's War of Rebellion, and I will give you the final word.
You do run, run, run. You maloo run, run.